Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
It's time now for our Sustainable Singapore segment.
Yeah, so we've seen a huge sustainability drive here in Singapore, pushing the topics of zero emission efforts. Climate change is really coming to the forefront now of everyone's mind.
Yeah, so you've got the announcement of the Singapore Green Plan a couple of weeks ago. Initiatives also announced in Budget 2021. So a greener Singapore by the year 2030?
Yeah, we certainly hope so. And we all know that business, of course, plays a hugely important role in this journey. Corporates are stepping forward with reduced carbon emission commitments as their environmental, social and governance goals become a greater priority.
Now, we also have the Enterprise Sustainability Program, which is set to help enterprises grow their capabilities to adopt sustainable practices, solutions and standards as well. You want to enhance your resource efficiency. You also want to capture new business opportunities.
But there's one big question that remains for businesses as they concentrate their efforts on economic recovery amid the downturn that's been prompted by COVID-19. And that is how sustainability efforts can go hand in hand with business growth.
And my favorite part about all of this, technology, and how can you leverage it? Well, on the phone with us is Simon Schellebigs, who is Assistant Professor of Strategic Management, Singapore Management University. Good morning, Simon. How are you?
Good morning, Elliot. Good morning, Manisha. I'm very well. Thanks for having me.
Wow, it's a very interesting time that we're in, where we see sustainability at the forefront, and we saw it again at Budget 2021. You've got the Green Plan, you've got the Enterprise Sustainability Program. How do you feel, what are your thoughts on Singapore's green ambitions, considering you've got over a decade worth of academic expertise and research in digital sustainability? You know, you've got so much experience to share.
Well, thanks very much. That's very kind of you. I think overall, I mean, the plan and the different aspects of the budget and so are definitely steps in the right direction. And there's the job support scheme, which is going to be very great for aviation, aerospace, tourism, people working in those areas that have lost their jobs or have reduced their income. A lot of wage support for local hires. That's fantastic. Government is issuing these green bonds or planning to issue these green bonds for public infrastructure. I think all of these things are very important steps in the right direction. But of course, as someone who's like really deeply involved in the environmental movement, I think there's always things that they can do more and that maybe should go a little bit further.
Okay, well, before I go any further, can I just quickly understand, what is digital sustainability? I haven't heard that term before.
So digital sustainability is the idea that currently we're really, I mean, let's say 2020 has been an incredible year of digital transformation because we all have to start working from home. And so more and more companies are digitizing their product, digitizing their services in order to be able to deliver the goods and the services that they are doing as a business. And so sustainability, of course, has to do everything with saving the world, pretty much. And digital sustainability is this cross-section where we use digital technologies, and then we think especially about machine learning, AI, we think about blockchain, but also just about mobile and the internet. So we use these new-ish technologies in order to achieve specific sustainability goals.
Right, I get you. Okay, so the company actually that stands out in my head as one that might be at the forefront of doing that is Microsoft. I was wondering if you could give us any other good examples.
So I think Microsoft is interesting. They've done quite a lot of work. They've obviously set the bar very high to become a climate-positive organization. So they have committed publicly to reducing their emissions to such an extent and offsetting the remaining emissions so that their entire history of being in the company since they were founded somewhere in the 70s will be reduced. So they will be absorbing all of the emissions associated with their entire life. But other companies, I think, in this space that are really pushing the agenda, that are at the vanguard, are not going to be the super famous companies right now. Yes, we can talk about Tesla. Tesla obviously is trying to move the entire green vehicle evolution and the electric vehicle evolution forward, something that also the government has made important commitments to. But I would say most of the companies that are really on the vanguard of this new exciting space are very small companies, and there are some of them in Singapore. They are everywhere around the world. And so they are the companies that are working on using digital technologies in order to really solve some of the sustainability challenges that we simply weren't able to solve before we had these digital technologies. But I don't think me listing their names is going to be very helpful because they're not very well known.
Okay.
Yet.
Simon, in Singapore, we've got the launch of the Enterprise Sustainability Program. At the end of the day, it's about improving local businesses' adoption of sustainable practices, solutions, and standards. But I'm wondering, and this is slightly left field, wouldn't it be better to just look at sustainability as an entire sector as opposed to an initiative, a movement, a save the planet type of thing? Because then you can quantify how much sustainability efforts contributes to an economy. Wouldn't that be easier?
I mean, that's an interesting idea, but let me swing that around on you. If you think about sustainability as a sector, like aviation or tourism, then it is isolated from everything else. Whereas what sustainability really should be, it's not a vertical, but it's a horizontal. It is something that permeates every sector of the industry. Every sector of every industry should think about sustainability. And yes, we need to be able to quantify to a certain degree what the contribution is of sustainability-related activities to the economy. But on the flip side of that, you may also think, well, if we don't do the sustainability, then if we're not careful, in the next 50, maybe 100 years, there's not going to be any economy left to quantify. So I think sustainability really needs to be seen as a core activity that exists in every industry, much like marketing or sales or operational management.
So that's our division now.
Yeah. So I just want to talk about Boris Johnson. He's been in the headlines overnight because Britain has just chaired a meeting of the UN Security Council. And get this, he said that talking about sustainability, talking about climate change, he said all this green stuff from a bunch of tree-hugging tofu munchers, these are his words, is not a suitable subject for a UN meeting, but I couldn't disagree more profoundly. Now, to get very serious about this is actually putting it out there as a security issue for the world. And they talk about instability being caused by, you know, the environmental degradation. But also, there has been a call from many CEOs to say you cannot do business unless you get across this.
Unless you get what?
Unless you get across your environment, you know, what you're doing about the environment and the march to 2030. So how important is it that you have figures like this coming out in the likes of the UN Security Council talking about the importance of stability and security and just relating that back to businesses?
I think that's very important. I hadn't heard that yet, but yeah, I mean, I have my personal opinion about Boris Johnson, which I will not give voice to. I used to live in the UK. But what is interesting is that even if someone like that comes out and says these things that I obviously also think are absolute nonsense, it's very clear that there are massive implications regarding sustainability that will have massive implications for security, for risk. Like if we think about Singapore, of course, the issue of rising seas is something that's very important to us. The same is true actually for London, where Boris Johnson lives, so he should really be more concerned. But if people come out and say things like this, much like say Bolsonaro is doing still in Brazil, or Donald Trump was doing in the US, it is of course detrimental. But I think that in general, this movement and this transformation that we need to see isn't going to be led by politicians. It's going to be led by companies that realize that we need to do things now because our investors care about it. Most governments care about it. And in Singapore, we do. Our employees care about it. And more our customers are demanding it. And our customers are increasingly voting with their wallets. And if we don't engage with sustainability in a profound way, we are going to lose customers, we're going to lose our ability to attract and keep motivated employees, and if we're a publicly listed company, we are going to be downgraded and we're going to lose our ability to access institutional investment money.
Yep.
And I think these changes are going to be really driving this world.
And very quickly, Simon, before I hand back to Elliot again, MAS has talked about this and talked about putting measures in place to make sure there isn't greenwashing here in Singapore by companies. Can you use technology to make sure greenwashing doesn't happen?
Absolutely. And so I have a little bit of a counterintuitive perspective on this. I think greenwashing is actually quite good. And it's not good because it's good that companies lie about their green ambitions or their green accomplishments, but it's good that they feel that there is a dominant narrative that exists in society that they want to do this. And if they do this and they get caught in a lie, they get punished, they get held accountable, and then they might actually change. But if we think specifically around the technology part, so technology is incredibly important. So consider, for instance, like something very dear to my heart, like reforestation project. Currently, I am working with my nonprofit organization and a group here in Singapore called Kumi Analytics to use satellites, remote sensing, and machine learning to be able to verify what happens in the forest over time so that we can use this combination of satellites, remote sensing, and machine learning to make estimates about how much carbon has been sequestered over time in a new, let's say, a mangrove forest that we're planting. So this is quite important. This is just one example. Another example is like same thing, like my NGO, Global Mangrove Trust, they've built together with DBS and Zilliqa. Zilliqa is a blockchain company here in Singapore. We've built blockchain architecture together that enable us to do automatic reporting and financial transparency provision for supporting reforestation projects. Then my enterprise, which is called Handprint, which is my latest venture here in Singapore, is using all of these kinds of technologies in order to make sustainability actions easily accessible to SMEs and to bigger companies. And so what is happening with these digital technologies that are being used in order to ensure that we can create a trusted record of the impact we're trying to have is that it becomes easier for companies to engage with it because you create a platform like Handprint, which makes it easily accessible, and it's easier to trust as well because companies or people or like interested stakeholders can easily look underneath the hood and see, okay, I understand how this is working, and then I can trust what the claims are that are being made. And this is really enabled by technology. Because if you think about, like, if somebody was telling you 20 or 30 years ago, oh yeah, I've planted 100,000 trees in a forest somewhere in Myanmar, how would you ever verify that this is true? Right now, we can verify this in 5 minutes. Right? And I think this is really what digital technology has enabled, and this is at the center of these ideas around digital sustainability.
And I'm glad you brought up Handprint Tech, Simon, because at the end of the day, that really highlights innovation and jobs creation. I do want to get your thoughts on viewing sustainability, A, from a new job seeker's point of view, and B, from a mid-career job seeker point of view. You know, there is possibility for new types of jobs, but how should I view these from these two perspectives?
Whew, that's a good question. I mean, we have at Handprint, we have been astonished by the amount of interest we've had when we put out applications or vacancies. And so we've gotten applications from very young people to people mid-career, people near the end of their career. And so what we see in right now is that there is a lot of interest in Singapore for people that want to work in this space because they are either motivated by this, if they're older, because their kids are telling them that this is the kind of career they should be looking for. And especially also, of course, with the youth, there's an intrinsic motivation and people saying, like, oh, we have cared about this for a long time. So I see enormous opportunities in this space. And the more we get companies that are leading the charge and become part of this movement, I think the more evident this is going to become. So, for instance, just from my own little startup perspective, so we've now hired our second Singaporean employee here. We've hired two amazing young women to join our team, and we're working with a team of SMU students to work on our communication strategy. We're opening up vacancies for internships, and I think lots of the companies that are working in this space that feel that there is a significant potential for market growth and that, like we do, are going to raise venture funds in the near future will be very interested in creating jobs here. Like, our ambition at Handprint is to become the first green tech unicorn or even decacorn in Singapore. And that means hopefully thousands and thousands of jobs in the next 5 to 7 years if we're successful.
Yeah, amazing. So as we begin to wrap up the conversation, what are the hidden tech innovations that are on the rise here in Singapore that could have a radical effect on sort of sustainifying the commercial landscape here?
So I think a key thing that is happening now or needs to happen more is to create, fill this sense of heightened awareness, right? So what's, for instance, very interesting is a company like SaladStop, one of the salad companies here in Singapore. So they have been at the forefront of this sustainability movement for a long time, as supporting the bring your own movement, starting to charge for plastic bags. And they've become the first restaurant in Asia to label all of their products for their carbon intensity. So they've gone through this arduous work of measuring the environmental impact of every single ingredient in their salads. Now they're partnering with an organization like Handprint in order to empower their consumers to say, we're not going to go carbon neutral for our salad, but we're going to go climate positive. So that every time you eat a salad, you have the opportunity to opt in to pay a little bit of extra money to go 20 times climate positive. I think these kind of ideas are going to be very key in the next couple of years, because we still need to create a heightened awareness with the population that this is possible, that individuals can make substantial changes, and that these substantial changes can actually be accomplished at a very low cost. So to give another example, if you're like the average Singaporean citizen will have a carbon footprint of about 12 tons of carbon per year. Now, is that a lot? It's kind of hard to make sense of. But if we think about what would it cost to plant trees in a very cheap and a very efficient project, like some of the projects that we are working with, for instance, in Indonesia or in Myanmar, in order to compensate for that footprint of about 12 tons, well, you probably can get that done for $50. And so for $50, you can compensate your carbon footprint in the long run. That's very affordable for people, but most people don't feel like they can actually really have meaningful impact. And I think the key thing we will need to do, and that we'll need to use technology for, is to give people the sense that they are empowered enough, that they can make changes, and that the small changes that they can make can, together, if everyone joins in, can have a very substantial impact.
We've been speaking with Simon Chelebix, who is Assistant Professor of Strategic Management, Singapore Management University. He's also co-founder and Chief Strategy Officer at Handprint Tech. Simon, appreciate your time this morning. Take care and stay safe.
Thank you very much. Bye.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.